Hello, this is the eighth video in the Developing Web Applications with ASP.NET Web Forms 4.5 tutorial series. In this video, I would like to focus more on centralizing the way the user interface of our application looks and feels like from one single point. Since the beginning of the tutorial, what we have been doing is using Entity Framework code first to create model classes. The idea behind using a framework such as ASP.NET Web Forms is to allow the focus of the designer of the application on the business logic layer, while not having to rewrite the same logic to display and controls and process data, or to access the database over and over again. This is the kind of code you would like to write once and then be able to reuse everywhere in your application. To do this, Entity Framework allows you to create a database based on the model classes in your model. Today, I will add dynamic data to the application we've been building, which is a scaffolding framework that allows us to control the way the user interfaces of our project is displayed and behaves, also starting from the information that we add in the model. Hence, the model will be driving both the look and feel of the application and the way that the database is created using Entity Framework. And to do that, let's just go back into the development environment. I fired up Visual Studio, and let me just show you the site to which I have added a little bit of more functionality since we last left off. So let's go back and log in, and I'm going to just log in. And once I log in, you'll see that in between the home and the about, I've added two more items. One is for listing the categories, and one is for listing the products on pages. And the way I've done this is very easily gone into the master site, the master template of my website, and in the navigation element, which I have down here, so in the nav section, I've added in something called a login view control. And the login view control is just a simple control that displays or hides information based on if the user is authenticated or not. And these two login view controls actually show the hyperlinks if the user belongs to the site administrator's role. And notice again that I am using the get route URL method, which actually resolves the route URL for the categories and the products routes that I have declared in previous videos. And this actually gets me the two hyperlinks here, which points to /site administration/categories and /site administration/products. So in earlier videos, we've defined the model classes of our model, and we've added a product, a toy category, and a picture product picture class. And we've been using attributes coming from the system component data annotations namespace to actually tell Entity Framework to how to generate the database for these specific entities. So what I've done today is I've changed the model a little bit. So I'm going to just remove the product picture, toy category, and products classes, and I'm going to bring in the new ones that I've already coded. So let's just go into the model and say add existing item, and I will go onto my drive and get the snippet corresponding to this particular stage and add them in. So there we go. Now, if we look at the model, the product model entity, you'll see that it has the same properties as it did before, but I've added more attributes to each one of these properties. So, for example, if we look at the name column, we can see that, for example, I've added the required attribute, which means that this property will not allow null strings. I've also added the string length property, which was actually going to make sure that this particular property takes in strings which are at maximum 100 characters in length. Now, there's also a display name equals property, and this is much more eloquent in the case of the description. So instead of just showing the name of the property in the particular class, what I can do is I can actually show a display name. For example, here, instead of just saying description, I'm going to say product description. So I have a way of telling dynamic data, which we're going to bring in a second, how I would like it to display data coming from this property in the user interface. I've also added another attribute, which is called data type. And data type takes in an enumeration value of type data from the data type enumeration. And if we look at this, you see that we have several different types that we can actually put in here. For example, we can put credit card, currency, custom, date time, and so on. And since we're actually showing a description field, we'd like this to actually be of type multi-line text. I'd also like to gather your to draw your attention to the scaffold column attribute, which basically tells the dynamic data framework to not display this particular property value when I am actually iterating through all of the properties in my product class. And last, what I'd like to show is the data type attribute once again for example, the decimal price. For decimal price, you see that the data type attribute, the data type enumeration doesn't offer a number or integer value. So what we can do if there is no type corresponding in the data type enumeration is we can just put in the name of the type in inverted quotes, so pass in the string corresponding to the name of the type we'd like to use. So in this case, it's integer, and then the range attribute allows me to specify integers ranging from 0 to 500 and not more or not less. So I've done the same for toy category and for product picture. And now what I also like to draw your attention to is the fact that when I ran the sample the first time around, I had three categories and three products coming from what we added in the earlier videos. So let's just go into the database and let me just show you that. So if we go into the products table and I say select top 1000 rows, you see that I have three products that are already present. And if I right click and I say design, you'll see that, for example, the name column is of nvarchar max. So that is the maximum number of characters that is allowed by SQL Server in this type of column, and that it allows nulls. So what is going to happen the next time I run this site is that since the model has changed, Entity Framework is going to have to try and mitigate the changes between the old model and the new one. And the way it does that is that it's going to drop the old database and recreate it. So if we go and we attempt to log back in and we hit the categories page, you see that this is going to take a little bit of time to actually run. And this is because the Entity Framework actually dropped the database and recreated it. And if I bring back SQL Server Management Studio and I reconnect to the database, I can actually show you that there have been modifications done to the products table. So if we go into the design view, you can see that the name property is now of nvarchar type 100 of type, and it does no longer allow null. And this is, remember, because we created the product model initializer class to inherit from the drop create database if model changes. So every time that there is a change in the model that Entity Framework has to mitigate, we're going to run this class initializer again, and we're going to drop the database, recreate it, and reseed it with the initial values. And this is why I've lost one category and I've lost one product by changing my model. Now, in more complex scenarios, again, you can use Entity Framework migrations to actually mitigate the changes and explain to Entity Framework what modifications you'd like to perform on the database to have the database change in accordance to the changes you've performed on your model. Now, we've said that the model actually drives the way that the database is created and looks like, but it also is supposed to drive the way that our user interface looks like. And for that, we're going to use dynamic data. And to bring in dynamic data, what you can do is you can just go into the Library Package Manager and grab the NuGet Package Manager console, and then you can go online. So in the online section, you can go and search for dynamic data, and the first result that you're going to see is the dynamic data EF code first provider, which you can add to your product to your project to start using dynamic data. And this will actually get you a folder called dynamic data, in which you'll have several other folders. The one we're going to be interested in and looking at first is going to be the field templates. Field templates are actually just user controls. So if you've ever done ASP.NET Web Forms development, a user control is just a way of bundling several bits of markup in one control that becomes reusable. So we have user controls for displaying different types of data. So for example, we have a user control for displaying email, or we have a user control for displaying text. And entity framework and dynamic data is actually going to choose from these field templates the one that corresponds to the data type that I'm trying to represent, and is going to choose between the text, for example, or the text edit based on the fact that I'm either displaying the text or I am editing it. So if I go back into my categories class, into my categories page, the grid view I've devised earlier on used the bound field column to actually display columns for name, short description, and last updated. But now we can replace these with something called dynamic field. What dynamic field is going to do is it's going to use dynamic data to actually look at the data type returned, for example, by the name property or by the short description property or the last update property, and then choose the corresponding field template, which is going to be rendered instead of the dynamic field control. So let's just do this to the products listings page as well. So replace the bound fields with the dynamic fields. There we go. And now if I run the sample again, what you'll see is that although the markup is remarkably similar, there are a few differences and a few perks that I get from using dynamic data. And let's just go back into the products listings. And you see that in the products listings, I now have column headers. And the column headers were actually generated by dynamic data directly and are coming from the attributes that I placed when I decorated my model. So for example, if I look at the product class, for the short description, the display name equals short description attribute actually winds its way all the way into my grid view. So whenever I modify my model, all of the grid views that will be used in my application to display some sort of product listings view will actually be changed as well, without me having to go into my pages and locate every one of these grid views and change them manually, which is what I want to do, because I don't want to have to worry about changing and making sure the user interface is coherent and consistent. I want to have one single point from where I can change both the database and the way that my user interface looks like, and that is the model. And now what I like to show is I like to modify the category details and the product details page. So the two pages we've been using to modify both category and product details to use the same dynamic data field templates. So to do this, let's go into the category details page. And remember, in the category details page, what we did was we had an insert item template, we had an item template, and we had an edit item template corresponding to the three scenarios of insertion, editing, and deleting from my particular form view. And here you can see that, for example, in the insert item template, we've added a text box that was bound, strongly data bound, to the name property of my category class. And I have a multi-line text box that was bound to the description property, for example. So what I'm going to do now is I'm just going to grab a code snippet from what I've previously coded, and I'm going to replace the entire form view control and show you how we can do this a little bit better. So there we go. I'm going to just cut this control out, and I'm going to bring in the new control. And there we go. Now the new control, it still has the same insert item template, but instead of using the text boxes to render the controls needed to insert a new category, I'm using dynamic control. And dynamic control is actually the equivalent, if you are using ASP.NET MVC, of HTML editor 4. So HTML editor 4 used to look at the value you were passing in from the model and decide what was the best control to render that value, that data type. And dynamic control does the same thing, except it uses dynamic data field templates. So it's going to look at the type of data that is returned by the name property, and it is going to actually choose between my different control, my different field templates, the one that actually represents this best, and is going to use the markup coming from that control. And now, if we go back into our model, I did draw your attention to an attribute of type data type integer. And data type integer, since it's not in the data type enumeration, is a type that I've actually invented. And the data type integer, I had to actually go into into dynamic data field templates, and I actually had to create an entity template called integer edit, which is allowing me to edit the type of data of type integer. So you can see that the convention here is that I take the same name as in my product class, so the name was integer, and then I append the underscore edit to tell dynamic data that this particular field template should be used when we are actually editing, when the data control is in edit or insert mode. So if I come back to my category details page, you see that I've replaced all of the text boxes with dynamic control everywhere, and this is actually going to be generating my markup directly using the field templates. So I'm going to do the same thing for the products. Let's just grab this and place it in the products listings, product details. So I'm going to just select the entire form view control, and I'm going to remove it. There we go, and I'm going to add this one in its place. So here we can again see that all of the text boxes are gone, and now I'm just using dynamic control everywhere for all of the controls that were actually displaying data. So let's go ahead and run this in Internet Explorer. And obviously we're going to need to re-authenticate. And then we'll go back to the products listings, and let's go and edit one of our products. So when we edit the product, you see that dynamic data had a look at the type of data that we were displaying. And since, for example, for the description, we said that we had a type of multi-line text, it actually displayed a text box of type multi-line for the description. Now, if I go and run this in another browser, like Opera, so let's just change it here to Opera and run the same sample yet again. So I'll have to re-log in. There we go. Log back in. And let's go to Products and click on View Details. Oops, there we go. And now if I say edit product, you see that in Opera, normally what I am expecting is that here I would want to have the same range selectors for the different fields because they're displaying numbers. And I don't get this because the integer edit template that I have in my dynamic data is just displaying a text box, but it does not set the text mode on the text box to something like number. So what we can do to modify this is I could just say text mode equals, and then in here I can just say number, and what this will do is that everywhere where dynamic data actually decides to use the integer underscore edit template to display data, it is going to render a text box of type with a text mode of type number inside, so that I do not have to actually do that myself. So let's go back into the product listings and edit the product. And you can see here that now I can just modify these by clicking the up and down arrows instead of actually having to go and write some numbers in here. And if I try to write letters, you'll see in the next one that the validation is going to trigger. So this is how I would be able to control the interface of my project using dynamic data, and by changing the field entity templates, I am able to actually decide how the markup is going to look each and everywhere where I have to render a property of a certain type. Now, suffice it to say that if you want to look more into dynamic data, just keep in mind that we can also use entity templates, which entity templates are just a way of saying I want to display a particular entity as opposed to a data type. So, for example, if I wanted to display a category entity, I could just create a category entity field template in here for edit and for insert, as well as for read-only, and then I could replace all of the markup that I have in, for example, the edit item template and the insert item template or the item template of my category or of my product with the corresponding entity templates. And this way, whenever I have to render a category object or whenever I have to render a product object, the markup would be the same. It would be controlled by my model classes, and I would have a way of tweaking the look and feel just by editing the entity template in dynamic data. In our next video, we will be looking at unobtrusive JavaScript validation with dynamic data. So, hope to see you in our next video clip. Thank you for watching.